I'm Marty Moscoe, and welcome to Radio Times. It's been a trying and tumultuous week in New Jersey, hit hard by Hurricane Sandy. Governor Christie and President Obama toured some of the damaged areas together on Wednesday and promised that help was on the way, a rare show of bipartisan cooperation in these highly partisan times. How will the governor's public embrace of the president and the physical impact of the storm affect Tuesday's election? Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. We asked Bob Engel to join us. He's senior political columnist for Gannett, New Jersey newspapers, writes a syndicated column and a political blog called Politics Patrol, co-author of a book called Chris Christie, The Inside Story of His Rise to Power and The Soprano State, written back in 2008. And Bob Engel, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Good to be with you too, Marty.
Are you surprised by this very public embrace by New Jersey Governor, very public embrace of the president?
I'm surprised at the extent of it. I'm not surprised that he would step across partisan lines and say, look, we needed help, he came to help us. But he went on and on about it, as you know, and it has been all over television. That has been the story this week, and it has certainly irked some people on the Republican side of things.
And are there specific Republicans that have been public about their being irked?
Well, it's one of those kind of things you know about where you'll get people, it will be described in news stories as people close to Romney.
Those anonymous people that are close to Romney.
But I think, you know, there is this thing in politics we call an October surprise, which basically is political speak for something that happens near the election, usually something manipulated by the White House that can affect the news and the outcome of the election. Well, this was a real October surprise, and not one that was manipulated by anybody here on this planet. None of us really expected it to be as bad as it was. And I have a column about this in our papers today. I think a part of Christie's activity in this has to do with he is so closely tied to this shore. In our book, we have some pictures of him as a little boy, and one of them is with his family at the Jersey Shore. And they went down there, like so many people from our area, every year, and then they grew up, and he took his kids down there, and so many people can tell that story. He is emotionally tied to the Jersey Shore, as so many people are. And I think when he got down there and he saw what happened, and then here is the president who says, what do you need? You tell us what you need. We'll take care of it. I think his reaction was honest and sincere. And maybe a little over the top if you happen to be partisan, but I think he meant everything he said.
So it's more personal than political, you think, Bob?
I think it is. I think it is. And when we were writing the book, and we had these long talks with him about his memories of childhood and all of that, the Jersey Shore really plays into it. And he talks about going there with his family and those wonderful memories. And then he has, you probably remember earlier in the year there was a news story where he had taken his kids down to the boardwalk and somebody said something rude in front of one of his kids, and he had an ice cream cone in his hand and he was ready to go after them. So he gets emotional about these things, but he's also the guy who will say, if you did a good job, you did a good job, even if he doesn't like you. And this, of course, is not his first time to go across partisan lines, because he has had this relationship with Steve Sweeney, president of the Senate, who is a Democrat. And, in fact, the news media is taken to calling it a bromance.
And so, I think other people, myself included, called him and the president another bromance.
Well, right. How many can he have?
Well, I don't know. You know him better than I do. But let me ask you, Bob, because others and who maybe don't know the governor as well as you do, as someone who has covered him, talk about his political ambitions, perhaps even his presidential ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
And there seems to be a hunger hunger for some kind of bipartisanship, and this was an opportunity for Governor Christie to kind of grab that mantle. Does that make sense to you?
It does. He is not hidden the fact that he has ambitions beyond the New Jersey State House. And since he was, in the second grade, we have that story in the book where he decided in second grade he was going to be president someday. He has had these ambitions, and he is a smart guy. No matter what you think about him, he's a shrewd politician, mm-hmm. and he knows that that in order to be in that lofty position, you're going to have to work with other people, and this is an opportunity to do that. I don't think it's the reason he did it. But at the same time, in the real world of politics, this incredible news that has been flowing out of here this week, these incredible pictures of him and the president talking to people and hugging people and the incredible cooperation. Before the president got to New Jersey, he had talked to the governor at least three times. In fact, the governor was looking kind of worn and tired, and he said that he wasn't getting any sleep because people kept calling him. And he said, but last night the president called me at midnight. And then he quickly said, now he's one of the people who can call me at midnight if they want to. But people have asked me about this all week. And my answer is, well, it's certainly not going to hurt him.
Well, certainly not. But he's an interesting Republican, Governor Chris Christie, in that he certainly has ambitions. He certainly has a very high profile. But he doesn't seem to be a particularly, loyal script-reading member of the GOP. I'm thinking about he did criticize Governor Romney for not releasing more tax returns.
Correct.
Even at the Republican National Convention, his speech was really more about Chris Christie than it was about Governor Romney.
Right.
So do you see him as a kind of a new breed of Republican?
I see him as Chris Christie. I don't think there's anything else like him, really. When people say, well, is he conservative or moderate or what is he? And I say he's the most conservative governor we've ever had in New Jersey. Nationally, he would be moderate. And I think that speaks to where the Republican Party, his party, is today on the spectrum. I think this is another reason that there are high-up people in the Republican Party who are not happy with what has happened and how he handled it, because it wasn't like Joe Blow, local Republican state house representative or whatever. This is Chris Christie, and I've been out in the field with him in other states before, and this guy is popular. Yes, he was the keynote speaker, and I think they gave him that because he didn't get on the ticket, and they had to give him something really high profile because he is so popular, not only with the people, but with the people who write the checks, and then have him come out and praise this Democratic president who's in a very tight race for re-election with Mitt Romney. I think that stung.
It stung, but I don't want to speculate too much. Let me ask you, Bob, because I do want to get some callers in,
sure.
And certainly there, I haven't been to New Jersey, but the stories and the pictures are really just breathtakingly horrible, I have to say. And I heard Governor Christie this morning talking about we've got to get the power back, we've got to get water back, we've got to deal with the debris. Are there concerns about next week's election that people will actually be able to get to the polls?
Well, they're doing everything they can. Now, we have been asking the governor all week, ever since this happened, well, what about the election? And at first he said, I don't give a damn about this election. We've got to save people's lives. We have got to get the state working again, and then we think about the election. Well, that's probably exactly how he feels. But there are other people who feel that we need, it's a whole package. Yeah, we got to save people, we got to get their power on, we got to get them food, we got to get them shelter. But this is an election for president. Now, from a strictly partisan standpoint, the areas hit hardest tend to be Republican areas.
That's interesting.
It is the areas that got Chris Christie elected governor.
And that's what, southern New Jersey?
That's basically the coastal, Monmouth and Ocean County. And those areas along the coast they were hit very hard. So these are people who supported him and put him in the state house. And that's another part of it where he's concerned about, I mean, he wants to return the favor, so to speak. he wants to make sure that they're taken care of. Now, since the media has been asking about it so much, they announced late yesterday what they're going to do is some of these polling places are just gone.
Yeah.
They're not there. At first they were saying, just go to your regular polling place and you'll be directed to go somewhere else. Well, there's a couple of problems with that. Number one, the regular polling place may not be there anymore. They're bringing in military trucks that will actually be used as polling places. The biggest problem, I think, for those people who want to get out there and vote is getting the word out to these people that go to your regular place and there'll be a military truck there and you can vote the way you normally would. I mean, people are without electricity, so they have no internet, and maybe if they don't have a battery-powered radio, they're not listening to us, and they don't know that's the case. And when you've got so many things to handle, how do you get that word out?
Well, Bob, let me get some callers.
Sure.
And we have, it looks like Mike from East Falls. This would be in the Philadelphia area.
Okay.
Mike, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Instead of just looking at this from what the political and partisan implications are, maybe the fact is Christie is just a good umpire. He calls them like he sees it. Mm-hmm. When FEMA and the president came forward and did what they were supposed to do, he called it and said thank you. But that also validates his earlier criticism. I think, if anything, instead of being a partisan, if the earlier remarks were considered partisan, maybe this just reinforces the fact that maybe they were honest, honorable remarks that, and the criticism was warranted. How about that for consideration?
Well, that's a good question. Bob Engel, go ahead.
Well, I don't have any argument with you that if the point is he's a good leader and he thanks people for what they do because they deserve it, I have no argument with that. Mm-hmm. At all. The partisan complaints, by the way, I don't hear any of them coming from New Jersey.
Oh, interesting. Let me ask you, and this is also about Chris Christie, because I think he is known for yelling at people.
Yes.
And we've also seen in the last couple of days, he's comforting people, hugging people.
Right.
I mean, this is part of his, what, voluble personality?
Well, this is Christie being Christie. He has a short fuse when it comes to anything he thinks is stupid. And of course, quite often reporters ask questions that he thinks are stupid, and so they're on the receiving end. Occasionally, people, you know, in the audiences at these town hall meetings and stuff. But this is him. He is just a real guy. He is capable of being a comforting person. He's capable of listening to you, everything you've got to say, and talk about it. And he's also capable of saying, "Now that's the dumbest thing I've heard all day." That's just Chris Christie.
Well, Bob, let's take a very short break.
Sure.
And then we'll get back to our conversation. Bob Engel is a senior political columnist for Gannett, New Jersey newspapers, writes a syndicated column, a political blog called Politics Patrol, most recently on Radio Times when he co-authored a book called Chris Christie, The Inside Story of His Rise to Power. Also a guest on a previous book called The Soprano State. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. And we have Jonathan Tamari waiting in the wings, and we'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY Art and Theater Company, presenting Freud's Last Session on the Arcadia Stage, now through December 23rd. On the day England enters World War II, Sigmund Freud invites a young C.S. Lewis to his London flat. Here, the father of modern psychology challenges a little-known professor on the brink of literary fame. Freud's Last Session imagines a collision of these two brilliant minds over love, God, and life. For tickets, 215-922-1122 or artintheater.org.
I'm Dave Davies. Join me Monday at 1 for a WHYY original production, Beyond the Ballot. On the eve of the election, we'll consider Mitt Romney's chances in Pennsylvania and whether tales of Philadelphia vote fraud are real or imagined. We'll look at a spirited governor's race in Delaware, meet a real-life member of the Electoral College, get a British perspective on the American political circus, and more. That's Beyond the Ballot, Monday afternoon at 1 on WHYY-FM.
The University of Pennsylvania supports WHYY. Are you drinking more than you want to? Would you like to reduce your drinking? UPenn is conducting a 13-week research study of a medication to help people reduce their drinking. To participate, you must be 18 to 65 and a regular drinker. The study provides a medical evaluation, including blood tests, brief counseling, and monitoring of your drinking. Details at 215-222-3200, extension 241. 215-222-3200, extension 241.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. This news just in, Chris Christie just reopened Atlantic City. Apparently the casinos are open, and we are talking about New Jersey with Bob Engel. We're checking in on Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware this hour of Radio Times in anticipation of Tuesday's election. Governor Romney is holding a rally on Sunday in Bucks County in Pennsylvania, where there's a battle for the U.S. Congress. We heard this morning that Bill Clinton will be in Pennsylvania on Monday. There are some interesting statewide races for the U.S. Senate and Attorney General in Pennsylvania and some closely watched races in New Jersey. And joining us is Jonathan Tamari. He's the Philadelphia Inquirer's correspondent in Washington, where he follows the Philadelphia area's interests and representatives. And he writes for the Inquirer's Capital Inc. blog. And John, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Let me talk about some of the races where the two of you overlap. And I should say to our listeners that Bob Engel and John Tamari, you have some connection with each other. Bob, you hired John, is that right?
I did. John worked with me for years.
Yeah, Bob. And was he very thankful for that.
And was he a very, very good boss, John?
Of course he was.
Thank you, John.
Let me talk about a couple of the New Jersey races, the U.S. Senate race, and also the Runyon Adler race. And actually, John, if I can start with you, looking at the Menendez race, how does that stand today?
Well, Menendez has had a pretty strong lead throughout, and that really hasn't changed throughout the race. New Jersey is obviously still a very strong Democratic state, notwithstanding Chris Christie's rise there. For the most part, it is a place that still goes strongly Democratic, and that was not expected to be a very close race, and it really hasn't shaped up that way.
Would you agree with that, Bob?
I definitely agree with John on that, and only recently has Carrillo's been running any other. The trouble is, when it first started, really, the polls showed that neither one of them were that well known, despite the fact that Menendez is the incumbent. But Menendez has raised his profile. Carrillo's hasn't. There's still way too many people who have no idea who Joe Carrillo's is.
Well, I noticed even when Governor Christie and President Obama were touring the New Jersey communities affected by Sandy, I saw Menendez with them, and I guess, Bob Engel, we shouldn't be surprised by that.
Well, not only that, but also Congressman Lo Biondo and the other Senator Lautenberg. And that was one of the things that I noticed about that. They were kept in the background. It was designed to be Christie and the president. The other guys were just like backdrops.
That's interesting. John, any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I think that, it made it look stronger, I think, for both the president and for the governor to be seen together and to have these two men working across party lines. And I do think that both sides probably wanted the focuses on the guys at the top of the decision-making chain there.
Do you think because there's the coattails effect, John?
Well, I think there's the coattails effect. I think also, they're just kind of project leadership, which is something that they both, you really need to do after disaster. That's part of what we're going through in the presidential election. One of the factors that you always hear people talk about is, who do you want to see after a disaster strikes? So there is going to be some unexpected event in the next 4 years, no matter who is the president. And it's important that somebody projects confidence as well as sympathy at the same time. And I think that, they wanted that focus to be intensely on the two men doing that as the executives.
And, John, since you're down there in Washington, unusual to see a Republican and a Democrat side by side praising each other?
Well, unusual that it was somebody who's been such a strong surrogate of Mitt Romney, who has been so critical of the president's leadership. If this was another Republican governor who had a less of a profile, it might be less surprising. But the fact that it was Chris Christie, who's one of the biggest stars in the Republican Party, who's been a big surrogate for Romney, that makes it all the more surprising.
And not so long ago was saying that the president couldn't find the light switch to turn to turn the country on, I guess.
Exactly, and that's what made it such I mean, obviously, look, it was high political theater, and obviously there's also the very practical, very important aspect of them kind of showing the people, the victims of this, that they understand what's there and that they're going to work together to try to repair things. I mean, that should not be lost in all of that as well.
Let me get some callers in at 1-888-477-9499. Then I do want to talk about the Runyon Adler race. But first we have, looks like Linda from Downingtown joining us in Radio Times. Linda, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Just really quickly, I'm a Democrat. We're voting for Obama. But I have to tell you, back when there was the BP oil crisis, we were living in the Outer Banks, and we were concerned that the oil was going to go up through the current, through the Gulf Stream current, and destroy some of the beaches. They've been very destroyed down there with other hurricanes. And we waited over a week for Obama to just even get on television and do a speech about the crisis and how it was affecting communities. One whole week it took him to respond. Now, having said that, we've been watching him very carefully with Hurricane Sandy, and we are extremely impressed with his leadership, with his take charge attitude, with his compassion and caring. And whether you like or dislike Christie or Obama is really irrelevant at this point. But what is relevant is the bipartisanship that both men have been showing and the leadership, which has been unprecedented, quite frankly, in the past 4 years. And we are extremely impressed with both men, what they are able to accomplish, and that they're actually doing the job that they were elected to do, which is lead in times of crisis.
Well, Linda, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. And, Bob, it's been said a bunch of times this week, but how an elected official handles a disaster can make or break their career.
Absolutely, and John is right. Whoever gets elected president sometime in the next 4 years, there is going to be something tragic come up. And unless you have seen them react to something like that, you don't know how they're going to react. Well, now we've seen Obama react to this, so we have an idea that he is a take-charge guy, and he will cross partisan lines. And I think the lady we just heard from,
Linda, yeah.
I think that attitude is pretty much what you would find across the country. We Americans like to know that when government is needed, that it is there to do the job that we can't do for ourselves.
And didn't Christie get in trouble for a storm that came in New Jersey? He was actually on vacation, Bob?
He was in Disneyland with the kids, and Disney World, I'm sorry, I'm from the West Coast. He made what some people would call a mistake. He did not come back to New Jersey to handle it. It was a blizzard, and so Steve Sweeney, the Senate president, actually showed at that time he was a take-charge kind of guy, too.
Let me ask you about the Runyon Adler race, and John, if I can toss that down to you, what's the significance of this race in New Jersey?
Well, it's one of the few really contested general election House races in New Jersey. It's a seat that Democrats had targeted as one that they had hoped to flip over to their side as they try to close ground in the House or potentially even try to retake the House. They need a net, I think, of 25 seats there. So it was one of their top targets, along with several others in the Philadelphia suburbs. But it doesn't seem like that race has really caught fire and that they've been able to gain the ground that they hoped to at the start of election season.
Is that how you see it, Bob?
Well, and I would point out that for like more than 100 years, that district has been really, really Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that is different this time, if it hadn't been for this storm, I would have said Runyon gets it walking away, no problem. But the part of the district is also affected by the storm. And so that gets back to, did people vote early, or are they going to be able to vote, and all of that. So that could change it some. If I were a gambler, I would gamble that Runyon is still going to walk away with it anyway.
Bob, we have to say goodbye to you, but even just looking ahead to the next couple months, maybe even couple of years in New Jersey, as I said before, as everyone is saying, the devastation is really quite overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see effort? I mean, obviously the efforts are there, but as you think about the future of New Jersey, what do you see?
Well, the shore is so much more than people who live there. That's important. But it's also a major generator of tax money. because of people who vacation there and visit there and go there to Atlantic City and all of that. And it's not going to go back being the way it was.
Right.
It just can't be. But we can't afford to let it just sit there either. It's going to have to be rebuilt. It won't be like it was, but it's going to have to be rebuilt because it is such an important part of the New Jersey economy.
Well, Bob Engel, as always, thanks so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
My pleasure.
And he's senior political columnist for Gannett, New Jersey newspapers, writes a syndicated column and a political blog. It's called Politics Patrol, and was a guest earlier this year as co-author of a book called Chris Christie, The Inside Story of His Rise to Power, and a book that came out in 2008 called The Soprano State. Jonathan Tamari staying with us for the next 20 minutes or so. He's the Philadelphia Inquirer's correspondent in Washington. He's been following the Philadelphia area's interests and representatives, writes the Inquirer's Capital Inc. blog. And I do want to talk about Pennsylvania. And, John, it's interesting that Governor Romney will be holding a rally on Sunday in Bucks County. This is a state that has largely been, I won't say ignored, but certainly not part of that battleground that we're seeing in neighboring Ohio. What's the significance of Governor Romney coming to Bucks County, do you think?
Well, it depends on which party you're listening to and which party spin you believe at this point. And it's really impossible to get an entirely neutral point of view at this time of the race. But, for Republicans, they say it shows that the polls are getting close and that he really has a chance to come in here and win Pennsylvania and possibly bolster his chances and take a path to the presidency that most people did not see, because most people thought this was going to be a strongly Obama state or a solidly Obama state. If you're on the other side, you might say that it means he knows he's not going to win some of those swing states he was targeting, like Ohio, Wisconsin, and that he has to try to find another path to victory, that he's going to have to steal Pennsylvania to have any real chance now. So it kind of depends on whose side you believe. The fact that he's coming, the fact that President Clinton is coming, though, I think that really does say that both sides think that the state is at least close enough that they obviously have to send their top people here.
And the polls do show the president with a lead, but not as much of a lead as he had a couple of months ago.
That's right. I mean, it's gotten closer here. It's gotten closer all around the country, really. Ever since that first presidential debate, things have been getting tighter and tighter. And so, but the president has consistently had a lead in Pennsylvania. And it's been, I think, since 1988 that Democrats have won Pennsylvania every time in presidential elections. So it still seems like it's going to be a tough haul for Romney here, but they obviously see opportunity. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's coming here kind of speaks that it's not an entirely just a political maneuver to spend money that they have and see what happens. The fact that he's actually spending time here really does speak volumes about what they think about their chances.
And because so many people live in the Philadelphia area and the city itself and the surrounding suburbs, I'm assuming that's why Governor Romney is coming to Bucks County.
Right. I mean, Bucks County is seen as really the place, the home of that quintessential swing voter who can go either direction, Democratic or Republican. In fact, Bucks County voters were highlighted in an article in The Economist this past week. So that just shows you kind of how the reputation of the Philadelphia suburbs as the place of swing voters, how far that reaches. So if there are undecided voters that are still persuadable, that's going to be the area where he's going to be able to find them, and that's obviously why he's going to that county.
There's also an interesting, perhaps even close race in the 8th District, which does include Bucks County, Kathy Buchvar, and Mike Fitzpatrick, Fitzpatrick being the incumbent. Why is this race getting such attention?
Well, it is one of the closest races in the state, aside from the Kritz-Rothfuss race out in western Pennsylvania. And it is a district that is forever a battleground. Every 2 years when there's an election there, it's going to be a close race. And it constantly is swinging back and forth between Democrat and Republican. In fact, Fitzpatrick has already been in Congress once, lost his reelection bid at that time, spent two terms out, and then came back. So it just kind of shows you how that district swings back and forth between the parties. And as far as seats that Democrats are hoping to flip in Pennsylvania or in our region, that's really their best chance. They've targeted four districts, but that's on the top of the list.
And a lot of money being invested in the 8th congressional district by both parties?
Absolutely. I mean, well, both parties and some of their allies are pouring a lot of money in. Both candidates there have raised substantial amounts of money. But in a telling sign, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, who runs the campaigns nationally for the party, pulled their money out of Philadelphia earlier this month. Philadelphia is obviously very expensive to advertise in, and they felt that their resources could better be used elsewhere. But it kind of gives us a signal that maybe these races weren't going the way that they wanted them to. You kind of feel like if they thought they were really going to win one, they would have stayed, they would have kept their money here to try to turn one of those seats around. Instead, they've largely had to play defense on the Crist seat out west.
Interesting. And are there polls on congressional races?
There are some. They're not widespread, to be honest. Most people are really focusing on the presidential race, on the Senate races. You have not heard, interestingly, neither campaign has released internal polling, which often, when they've got something that's really favorable for their side, they'll leak it to the public. You always have to take it with a grain of salt, but at least gives you an indication. Neither side has done that in this case. It probably won't be a blowout, but you have to think that Fitzpatrick at this point is favored, and that Romney coming to Bucks County is something that could really help him in the stretch run.
I guess it would be interesting to see where former President Bill Clinton, where he goes, if we're reading the tea leaves here, what the significance of that would be.
Well, if he comes in, I mean, there's a couple different places you could play him, right? If you bring him into Philadelphia, you're reaching some of the core Democratic voters and really trying to drive up turnout. If he goes into Bucks County, again, you're trying to reach out to some of those swing voters who maybe could go either way and who you're trying to make a play for in the last days of the campaign. And if you go out to western Pennsylvania, well, then you've got, again, some of those blue-collar voters, and you also might kind of seep into coverage in Ohio and some of those important surrounding swing states. So there's a few different ways to read it depending on where exactly he comes. But the fact that he's coming, that one of the most visible, powerful Democrats out there is coming to Pennsylvania the day before Election Day, does say that both sides see something going on here that it's worth fighting over still.
And John, we're almost up on a break here, but are we seeing super PACs investing in Pennsylvania as well?
Absolutely, and particularly on the Republican side. They've put a lot of money in here in the last week or two to boost up Romney's spending, and they're far outspending the Obama campaign right now.
And the flavor of their ads?
You know, about what you would expect, that can't afford four more years of the president, that Romney is going to be the guy who, you know, cuts regulations and keeps taxes down, and that the president has failed to do his job. I mean, kind of there's not a lot new at this point in the race. They're just kind of amplifying a lot of the things that you've already heard.
Well, let's take that short break. We'll get back to our conversation. We are talking about Pennsylvania and some of the interesting races in this state. Any questions or comments, do give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Jonathan Tamari, our guest, he's the Philadelphia Inquirer's correspondent in Washington, and he writes the Inquirer's Capital Inc. blog. And in about 5 or 10 minutes or so, we'll be talking about Delaware. So any questions from our Delaware listeners, 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
JerseyArts.com supports WHYY, featuring details on Customer Appreciation Week in the museum stores at Wheaton Arts in Millville, New Jersey, now through Sunday, November 4th. Holiday shopping for the season at the Wheaton Arts Gallery of Fine Craft, Brownstone Emporium, General Store, and Paperweight Shop, plus refreshments, special activities, and more. Details at WheatonArts.org. Wheaton Arts and more online at JerseyArts.com.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. A reporter goes back to State College, Pennsylvania to reflect on what's happened to his hometown a year after Jerry Sandusky's fall from grace. Also, the final weekend before Election Day, will polling places be up and ready, especially in areas affected by Sandy? That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
The Wistar Institute supports WHYY-FM. I'm Dr. Russell Kaufman, president of the Wistar Institute. The newest cancer treatments almost always start with a breakthrough in basic science research. Wistar researchers identify the causes of cancer, and this can lead to treatments that directly target the causes without the harmful side effects of older cancer therapies. Basic research saves lives and needs your support. To learn more about how you can join us and help save lives, wistar.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking with Jonathan Tamari about some of the races in Pennsylvania in anticipation of Tuesday's election. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. John, one of the statewide races is the Casey Smith race for the U.S. Senate. Where does that stand today?
It's much like the presidential race in Pennsylvania, where Senator Casey, the incumbent, has a lead. He's had a consistent lead throughout, but it's gotten tighter and tighter and tighter to the point where some Republicans think that they might have a real shot of turning around this seat that was considered very safe for the Democrats at the start of election season. Again, Casey's had a strong lead. There hasn't been an instance of a neutral poll that I've seen where he's been behind, but things are a lot closer than I think people expected at the start.
And Casey has been criticized for not campaigning hard enough or enthusiastically enough.
Yes, that's been the criticism leveled by his opponent and even by some of his allies, Governor Rendell being one who, you know, has been critical that he has not been visible enough, that he didn't take this challenge seriously enough from the start. And so then that's partly why Tom Smith, the Republican, was able to close so much ground in the interim. And so we'll see if Casey has enough here at the end to hold him off. And I do think that some of the Democratic visits will probably help as far as just building up overall enthusiasm for that side of the ticket.
And does that then mean the ground game for whoever's running, that the ground game is important in terms of getting out the vote?
Of course. It's always going to be a key in these last few days to get your supporters out, especially in a state like Pennsylvania that has, you know, we've seen it, that it's a state that's comfortable electing Democrats or Republicans statewide. It doesn't, unlike New Jersey, where for the most part, Democrats have won almost all of the statewide elections in recent time. In Pennsylvania, it goes either way. We have one Republican senator, one Democratic senator. So it's going to be important that you get the people on your side out in these final days.
And where did Tom Smith come from? This is his first run, as I understand it, for statewide office?
Yes, it is. I mean, he made a lot of money in the coal mining industry out west in Pennsylvania. He's described as a self-made man, and he won the primary. I don't think there was a whole lot of attention there, and I don't know that a lot of people expected a lot out of him since he was such an unknown, but he's able to put a lot of money into the race and really dominate the airwaves while Senator Casey was quiet, and he's made this a closer race than many people expected.
The other another statewide race is for the Attorney General. We have Kathleen Kane and David Freed. John, how do you see this race?
So far, Kathleen Kane has held the lead. She seems to be a pretty strong favorite coming in here at the end. And in fact, it was interesting this week. New York Mayor Bloomberg's PAC has actually put some money into Pennsylvania to back Kathleen Kane because of her stance on gun control, which is something that's a big issue for Mayor Bloomberg. Oddly enough, in Pennsylvania, it doesn't always necessarily win you votes in many parts of the state. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But so far, she's had a pretty strong lead.
And Bloomberg just endorsed the president yesterday, actually noting climate change and some other issues as well.
Absolutely. And he's an independent voice, very, very prominent voice, at least in this area, kind of in the Northeast corridor. I don't know how much his endorsement factors into places like Ohio and Wisconsin and Minnesota. He's obviously somebody who's very much watched in New York, New Jersey, in the Philadelphia area, Washington. These are all places that were already going to go for the president. So I'm not sure how much impact it will have as far as changing the dynamics of the race at this point.
Has Governor Corbett been out campaigning for Republicans?
He has been. I mean, he's been campaigning for Mitt Romney. He's obviously one of a Republican who's a statewide presence. And so he has been doing some campaigning for Romney. In my experience, and it might just be that because I watch our congressional campaign closer than I watch our state-level politicians for my beat. You know, the person who I've seen the most, I think, on the Republican side from Pennsylvania has been Senator Toomey, who is a big voice on fiscal conservatism down here, on fiscal strain, on lower taxes, and that really merges with Mitt Romney's message, Paul Ryan's message. I've seen him significantly out there campaigning on Romney's behalf.
The question that's being asked about any race along the East Coast is the impact of Hurricane Sandy. And although Pennsylvania got hit not as hard as New Jersey, but certain parts of this area, including in Bucks County, does not have electricity. Do you think this will be a factor?
I mean, it could be, depending on how quickly they get this recovery. Obviously, if people are still living without electricity and without some of the very basics that they need on a daily basis, then, you know, on election day, I don't know that election and voting is going to be at the top of their list. It does seem like some progress is getting made as far as restoring power, as far as clearing roads, and we all obviously hope that life gets back to normal as soon as possible. I think if that is the case, and if people aren't worried about having power, then I do think that they will get out and vote, and I don't see it really changing the election from that perspective.
And not so long ago, we were talking about the voter ID law in Pennsylvania. It is in place, but it has been postponed. Do you think there is confusion about what this law is and how it will be applied on Tuesday?
There's probably some, and I do think that it's a concern, particularly for Democratic groups, that there might be people who are still confused, who are unsure of exactly what the rules are. You've seen not the Democrats themselves, I don't think, but some of their allies send out mailers and advertising that explains or attempts to explain that the ID law is not in place this time around. And so that shows that there is a concern that some people might not understand exactly where it stands and that they're trying to make it clear that people should go out and vote and that they don't have to be concerned with that law in this election.
And there have been some misleading letters, some correspondence that I think has also added to the confusion.
Certainly. I mean, when you have a story that kind of swings back and forth and you don't know exactly how closely everybody's following each incremental change that happens, you don't know, if there's going to be some people that are unsure about where things finally ended up.
And what will you be doing on Tuesday night, dare I ask?
I plan to be in Philadelphia just kind of monitoring some of the congressional races in our area, seeing if any seats change hands, if the incumbents all hold on, and then trying to figure out how that fits in with the national picture. Right. Are we in line with the national trend does the Philadelphia area kind of buck what happens around the country? It seems, the past two elections, congressional elections, have been big waves, first in 2008 for the Democrats, then in 2008 for the Republicans. We don't get the sense that that's going to happen this year, that either party is going to win in a real blowout, which would argue for kind of stability in our area, but maybe there's big changes here and not elsewhere, or maybe there are big changes around the country and the seats here kind of stay in the same hands. So we'll kind of be looking for that. But my sense is that there's not a big change coming either in Pennsylvania or nationally as far as the congressional elections go.
And John, just final question. It's a big one, but a small answer if you don't mind. Do you think redistricting will have an impact on the races in Pennsylvania?
Absolutely. It's been a huge impact. It's one of the biggest factors in these races. A lot of these seats were made much, much safer for the incumbents who in the swing districts are Republicans right now. And that's been one of the biggest challenges for Democrats.
Well, Jonathan Tamari, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. He's the Philadelphia Inquirer's correspondent based in Washington and writes for the Inquirer's Capital Inc. blog. And finally, we're going to get an update on the political happenings in Delaware. The state was in Hurricane Sandy's path. The governor is seeking re-election. There's a race for the state's lone congressional seat. And the Republican Party is starting to rebuild after the 2010 election. And joining us now is Sam Hoff. He's the George Washington Distinguished Professor of Political Science in Delaware State University's Department of History, Political Science, and Philosophy. And Sam Hoff, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Let me begin with Sandy. What's been the impact of Sandy on Delaware, and do you think it will be a factor on Tuesday?
Well, as a matter of fact, I got a call from my aunt up in Pennsylvania who was very concerned after Sandy went by us. Delaware was very lucky. We avoided largely the type of devastation damage that you see in other areas of the East Coast. Now, we didn't go completely without problems. While I haven't seen all the pictures, I know that we've had significant amount of our beachfronts destroyed and possibly some of the boardwalks in the Sussex County area. I know that for a while one of the major routes through Sussex County down to the beaches in southern Delaware was impassable because of sand up over the brim, almost like snow, which had to be plowed, and I believe they've been able to get that open. But like I say, we were really lucky compared to some of the other states around us.
Well, that's good to know. And where do things stand in Delaware as far as the presidential race going?
Well, to put that in context, Delaware was and has been for a while a blue state. We had the fifth largest percentage of victory for Barack Obama in 2008 among all the states that he won. And in 2010, while the Republicans enjoyed their finest midterm election year results nationally since 1938, it was almost like that what went completely by Delaware, and Delaware kind of rejected a Tea Party challenge and had really almost a Democratic sweep. Only one statewide Republican won in 2010. So with that in mind, you would think it's going to be a pretty easy time of it for President Obama to be reelected, remembering that the vice president, although born in Pennsylvania, calls Delaware his home, so, you know, favorite son vice president. All that having been said, it looks like President Obama will be reelected here in Delaware, but with certainly a lower percentage than in 2008.
Now, Governor Markell is up for reelection. What does his future look like?
Well, Governor Markell is the third consecutive Democrat who's served in the governorship, and he's also the third consecutive Democrat who's running for reelection. Obviously, if he wins, he'll keep that string going. So that's rather impressive for the Democrats lately. Mr. Markell has run a strong campaign that largely relates to his economic record. He does have a business background, and his campaign has cited some economic success in the state, which has the state with at least 1% lower than the national unemployment rate. Now, that record hasn't been perfect. The initiative to bring the Fisker auto plan into the state has kind of boomeranged with the problems that Fisker is having lately. And there's still a significant deficit in the state's transportation fund that really wasn't discussed in the campaign. But Ms. Markell seems like he's going to be reelected over a challenge from Jeffrey Cragg, the Republican challenger. And that one doesn't seem to be as much of uncertain as at least one or two others are.
Let me pick up on something that you referenced earlier. And are you saying that in Delaware, after the 2010 election and the Senate race in Delaware, that the Republican Party is in the process of rebuilding itself, creating a different identity for itself?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And Delaware Republican Party was split, divided, and some even referenced it as being on the mat, so to speak, with a punch that to the gut after the division that occurred with the O'Donnell candidacy. Obviously, she upset the longtime Congressman Michael Castle in the Senate primary in 2010 and then proceeded to lose to the Democratic nominee, who certainly would have lost to Castle if Castle had been the Republican nominee. So from that fiasco came the ashes, so to speak, came a godsend, John Sigler, as state Republican Party chairman, and he certainly helped to unify the party and to soothe the problem that had occurred between the mainstream Republicans and the Tea Party folks in the state. And the Republicans proceeded to fill most of the top spots with candidates in 2012 and had a pretty good turnout for the April presidential primary, 16%. That was actually higher than the turnout among Republicans for the statewide primary in September. And so the Republican Party does seem to be rebuilding, and I personally am predicting that they should have a good midterm election in 2014, maybe able to contest for control of the General Assembly, which now is held by the Democrats in both chambers. And as I said before, with three consecutive Democrats serving two terms, you would think that if the Republicans could rally behind a dynamic figure around 2014, that they would have a good shot at capturing the governorship in 2016. So things are looking up for the Republicans. You couldn't have said that 2 years ago.
Well, that's interesting. We only have about 30 seconds here. There is a congressional race. Delaware gets one congressperson.
Yes, and I'm predicting John Carney, the Democrat, will be reelected. This is, of course, a sophomore slump, the time when a lot of incumbents worry the most, but I think he will be reelected in his first reelection bid. I think Senator Carper will be reelected over candidates that include Kevin Wade, the Republican, and a colorful Alex Pires, the independent challenger. I think that if there is one race where there might be an upset, it's the lieutenant governor, where Cher Valenzuela, the Republican challenger, has a shot at possibly upending Matt Dehn, the Democratic incumbent. And that's probably the one to watch in the state.
Well, Sam Hoff, thank you so much for joining us today in Radio Times.
Thank you.
Checking in on Delaware, he's the George Washington Distinguished Professor of Political Science at Delaware State University in their Department of History, Political Science, and Philosophy. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out much more about this program, including Twitter and Facebook. We are following the campaigns, whether they're here locally or nationally, and of course, always looking for your input. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times, but stay with us because we'll be right back. I don't know.